We are in Genesis chapter 27. We are moving right along, aren't we, folks? So it's a long scripture, and I'm going to read this in parts and sections. So it's going to be a little bit different for us tonight. But I'm going to read verses 1 through 4 in Genesis chapter 27. Now it came to pass, when Isaac was old, and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, that he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son?" And he answered him, "Here I am." Then he said, "Behold, now I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and make me savory or tasty food, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." So, last week, we read in Genesis 26:34 that Esau was 40 years old when he began to take wives. Not a wife, but wives. And Jacob is not married at this time. He's 40 years also, because remember, they're twins. And if you remember, this was the age when Isaac married Rebekah. And not only does Esau marry, but he takes two wives. And not only does he take two wives, but they're Hittite women. And his wives are actually citizens of Canaan. Okay? I want to read chapter 27, verse 46, and you'll see. I'm just going to skip around on you tonight. I'm going to keep you sharp. In verse 46, it says, "And Rebekah said to Isaac, 'I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob takes a wife of the daughters of Heth like these who are the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me?'" She is like, does not like her daughter-in-law, does she? And I think this is probably the worst case I've seen of a mother not liking her daughter-in-laws. But she is not happy with these women that Esau has taken as wives. And it's causing problems within the home and within the camp. Because remember, they're Canaanites. They're Hittites living in the land of Canaan. I want us to turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 14, I'm sorry, chapter 6, verses 14 through 18, sorry. And this is Paul writing to the Corinthian church. You remember there were quite a few things that weren't right at Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. And Paul addresses this very issue of what's happening right here. He tells the Corinthian church, he says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial?" Yes, I'm sorry. "Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, 'I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty.'" Paul is saying here, you notice he says this several ways. He says, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. He's talking to believers now. And because he says, well, what kind of fellowship can you have with someone? What fellowship can righteousness have with lawlessness? This is what's happening right here in this home when Esau marries these two Hittite women. They are idol worshipers, and they are in a land that is condemned by God. And they are pagans. Of course, we know that that's what Abraham came out of. But Abraham has been leading his family in the worship of the one true God. Isaac knows the one true God. And see what's happening now as time passes on. And here Esau, This is also, I want you to see that you're getting a good picture of Esau right here. And he, you know, Paul continues, he says, you know, what does light have to do with darkness? And I mean, how can they commune together? How can you live together if you're light and they're dark? Now, this is that you would not go out and deliberately search for someone, or you would find someone who was not a believer, okay? It's different if you've already married someone and you became a believer, or they did and you're not, or whatever. That's different. It says stay with them. Now, at this time, Isaac, he's around 100 years old when Esau marries. He's around 100 years old when Esau marries. If you remember, he was around 40 when he married Rebekah. When the twins were born, he was around 60. And so it says that Esau's 40 when he gets married, so it puts Isaac around 100 years old. Now, when we read verses 1 through 4 of chapter 27, time has passed. It says, now it came to pass. So there's time that's passed. When we read these scriptures and we're just going from verse to verse, we're not noticing how much time has passed. Isaac is anywhere from 130 to 137 years old. So he's in his 130s. And we know that Jacob has secured his birthright from Esau in Genesis 25, verse 31 through 34. Remember, Esau comes in, he's hungry, and Jacob is cooking this wonderful stew, and Esau says, give me this, I'm dying. And Jacob says, opportunity. Well, you're the firstborn, Esau, how about you give me your birthright? And Esau says, well, what is a birthright if I'm dead? Take it, give me the bowl of stew. And so it says he despised it. And so, birthright, what is a birthright? Do we have any firstborns in this? Michelle and Carol, Angel, firstborn. Well, let me just tell you, it doesn't matter because you're girls. That could be a firstborn. Firstborn boy. Firstborn boy. Birthright is a position in the family. It goes to the firstborn son. It gives them preeminence. They become the patriarch and the spiritual leader, and they receive a double portion. That's what would go to the firstborn. Now, it will become more clear in the book of Exodus, but this is what has been traditionally known, even in the pagan cultures, that this is what would happen. And so we see that Esau despised it, and he sold it to Jacob. We also know he thought very little. We know that Esau thought very little of his birthright before he sold it. It was only worth a bowl of stew to him, the filling of his belly. That was what Esau was concerned about. But Jacob, he wanted all that went with the birthright. In Genesis chapter 25, verse 23, if you remember, when Rebecca found out that she was pregnant, there was a war going on inside of her. And she thought, what is this? And so she asked the Lord. And the Lord told her, you know, that there were two nations within her womb. And then the final thing he told her is he said that the oldest one would serve the youngest one. Okay? God had already spoken the position of these boys in this family. Birth order was not going to determine the position. God had already spoken it. He spoke it to Rebekah. Now, Scripture is silent on this, but I'm going to take the liberty to tell you that I believe that she shared this with Isaac. If God spoke to me, I would rush home and tell Mark. And if it involved our children, you know, I would rush to tell him. And I think Rebecca's probably like all of us women, you know. God speaks to us, we're going to tell somebody, you know. It'll be hard to keep us from telling somebody. And so, God's will was known in this matter. And we see that a lot of years have passed. Let's look at Isaac concerning his sons and God's word. Okay. in 26, chapter 26, 34, it says that when Esau was 40 years old, he took wives, okay? And we know that Jacob is still single. He's not married. Isaac did not find wives for either of his sons, did he? Now, what did Abraham do? He found a wife for his son, and he sent his servant back. He sent gifts. I mean, he had animals laden with gifts. He kept his son there, but he procured a wife for his son and brought her back, and he did not. He said, no, under no circumstance do you take my son back there, and under no circumstance do you let him marry any of these women here. And we see that Isaac, now he, what is Isaac's concern? Isaac's concern is food. That's what he's concerned about. Another thing with Isaac concerning his son and God's word, Isaac was determined to give Esau what God had determined for Jacob. See, Jacob gets a bad rap, being called a deceiver now. We're going to see Jacob, and we'll see his character. But I want you to look at 27 verse 4. Look at this again. And he's talking to Esau, and he said, make me savor your tasty food such as I love. Bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die. Isaac is determined that he is going to give this to Esau. He's his firstborn, and he is also his favorite. Third thing is that Isaac was totally, at this time in his life, walking in his feelings. He was walking in his feelings. In chapter 25, verse 28, it says that, and Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game. Because he ate of his game. That's why he loved Esau. Isaac wants this tasty food. Esau sold what was his for food. These two men have a little problem here, don't they? Like father, like son. It's my appetite controlling me. And if you look at verse 4, Isaac says that my soul may bless you. Now, if you remember the chart I gave you, we're made up of spirit, soul, and body. I have to say it in order. Spirit, soul, and body. And the soul is the mind, will, and emotions. That's right. Thank you. And so here, Isaac is his soul, it's his mind, will, and emotions that is determined to do this, even though he knows what God has said. In his mind, this is right because Esau is the eldest. His will is that, you know, he's determined to do it. He's willing to do this. He is determined that he will do this, and his emotions is because I love you the most. I love you the most, Esau. And I want you to look where he is. I want us to take a look. I'm doing this lesson a little bit different, but this is what I felt like the Lord showed me. I want us to look at where Isaac is physically and spiritually first. First thing is, in 27:1, it says that his eyes were so dim that he could not see. So he could not see physically or spiritually. Isaac's eyes, the dimness, the not being able to see physically, was also a picture of him not being able to see spiritually. Second, I want you to see that I want you to look at 27:22. So Jacob went near to Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. So the second thing where Isaac is his hearing. He hears the voice of Jacob when Jacob enters into his tent. Now, I've not read all this to you, but I'm just telling you, this is where Jacob is determined to deceive his father, to trick his father. And he comes in, he can't disguise his voice. He has a different voice. He knows that Isaac can't see him. And he says, but you have the voice of Jacob. It's what I hear. Now, all of his physical senses we're going to see are coming into play right here. Now, tell me, somebody tell me what the senses are. It's Touch, smell.
Taste.
Hearing. And seeing. Okay. So first of all, he has no sight. Now his hearing says, this is Jacob. Something's not right. But at 27:22, he said, but the hands are the hands of Esau. Remember that Rebecca had put the goat skin on there? So he was tricked here. He could not see. His hearing he did not listen to. And he listened to his sense of touch. He believed that, so he was tricked there. In 27:25, he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's gains, so that my soul may bless you. So he brought it near to him, and he ate, and he brought him wine, and he drank his taste. Here he was. He ate the stew that Rebecca made. Rebecca said, oh, I can make the same stew that Esau makes. It'll taste the same. It'll just be with goat. Well, not be with venison. And Isaac is in such a place that he cannot tell the difference, even with his taste. So see, even his physical senses are deceiving him. And then the fifth thing was in 27:27, says he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him and said. So here was the sense of smell, and he was tricked again, because Rebecca had gone in and taken Esau's clothing and put it on Jacob. And so when he smelled him, he smelled like his son. So do you see why God says that we walk by faith? Because you can be deceived by how this thing fills your heart. What you see, you can be deceived by your eyes. We can be blind spiritually. We can hear something. Now, he thought something might have been askew, but he let his other senses lead him another way. And so I want you to see here in this scripture that Isaac is also being deceitful. In verses 1 through 4 that we read, Isaac is also being deceitful. In verses 1 through 4, he speaks to Esau and Esau alone. Now, when a father would pass down a blessing or a birthright, that was an event. It was a festival. It was, you would call everyone together. It would be done with food and wine. It would be a great occasion. And Esau most likely would have worn the clothes that Jacob wore, his festive clothes that Rebecca kept in her tent. It would have been something that would have been celebrated. It would not have been done secretly. So do you see, Esau was being deceitful in this matter, and Isaac, they were both being deceitful. Because it doesn't say this here in Scripture, but this is my belief. I believe that when God spoke to Rebecca, Rebecca spoke to Isaac, and because Rebecca's attentions were on Jacob, she would have told Jacob all along. She probably would have told Esau, your brother is going to be head of the family. It's going to be Jacob. God has chosen Jacob. It's not a secret in this family. Let's read verse 5. Now Rebecca was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son. Notice she said his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt game and to bring it. So Rebecca spoke to Jacob, her son, saying, indeed, I have heard your father speak to Esau, your brother, saying, bring me game and make savory food for me, that I may eat it and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I command you. And if you'll see here, Rebecca, she will tell Jacob three times to obey her voice. Obey my voice. Now, go now to the flock and bring me from there two choice kids of the goats, and I will make a savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father, that he may eat it, and that he may bless you before his death. Now, Isaac and Esau are in cahoots to deceive. Now, Rebecca is planning on how to deceive Isaac. Now, listen, because I want you to hear Jacob, who gets accused of being a deceitful person. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, "Look, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing." Now, what Jacob is talking about here, he says that it may seem to be a deceiver, or the word could mean mocker. And what I was reading is that Jacob thinks that his father could perceive that he's mocking his blindness, making fun of the fact that he cannot see, or trying to trick him in that, in the fact that he cannot see. But his mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go and get them for me." And when he got them and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory food such as his father loved, then Rebekah took the choice clothes of her elder son, see, these were the clothes that Esau should have worn, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats on his neck and on the smooth part, on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. Then she gave the savory food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went to his father and said, "My father," and he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn." Here's Jacob's first lie. He tells him that he is Esau. "I have just done as you told me. Please arise, sit and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said to him, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord your God brought it to me." Second lie. First of all, he lies about who he is. Second lie is he lies about God. Not that we have ever done that. And then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. Then he said, "Are you really my son Esau?" Third lie, he said, "I am." He said, "Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's game so that my soul may bless you." So he brought it near to him, and he ate, and he brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near now and kiss me, my son." Isaac still not quite convinced, and he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him and said, now this is the blessing that he gives him, "Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field, which the Lord has blessed. Therefore may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and of plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you." This is basically the same blessing that Abraham had, but it's just worded a little bit different, that God gave Abraham. Now it happened as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. He also had made savory food and brought it to his father and said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game that your soul may bless me." And his father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" So he said, "I am your son, your firstborn Esau." Then Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, "Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I have blessed him, and indeed he shall be blessed." When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry, and said to his father, "Bless me also, O my father." But he said, "Your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing." Here's the pot calling the kettle black. And Esau said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now he has taken away my blessing." And he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" Then Isaac answered and said to Esau, "Indeed, I have made him your master, and all his brethren I have given to him as servants with grain and wine." That means prosperity. Wine always means prosperity, riches, and sustained him. "What shall I do now for you, my son?" And Esau said to him, "Have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, now this is Esau's blessing, behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of the heaven from above. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother, and it shall come to pass when you become restless that you shall break his yoke from your neck. So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand when I will kill my brother Jacob. And the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. News travels fast. So she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, surely your brother Esau comforts himself concerning you by intending to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to my brother Laban in Haran, and stay with him a few days until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger turns away from you, and he forgets what you have done to him. Then I will send and bring you from there. Why should I be bereaved also of you both in one day? And we've already read the last verse. So I want us to backtrack again before we go any further, and remember what God said. He said, the older shall serve the younger. Okay, so sometimes people tend to get on their high horse and they want to judge God for that. They think, well, these children have not even been born yet. Do you kind of think that? Do you think, well, it's not fair? They haven't even been born. What have they done? They haven't done anything, you know. I want us to look at a few scriptures and turn to Malachi. It's the last book in the Old Testament, Malachi. Chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. This will really get you going. I have loved you, says the Lord, yet you say, in what way have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, says the Lord? Yet Jacob I have loved, and Esau I have hated, and laid waste his mountains and his heritage for the jackals of the wilderness. Now here God says that, you know, I love Jacob, and I hate Esau. And everything of Esau's is laid waste. It just doesn't seem quite fair. Now look at Romans chapter 9. I've had people in classes get pretty upset with God over this matter. Let's look at chapter 9. I'm going to start at verse 6 and read through 13. But is it not the word of God has... But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel. Nor are they all children because they are the seed of Abraham. But in Isaac your seed shall be called. That is, now remember, now it says that just because they're children of Abraham, that doesn't mean that that's going to be the ones that they are the chosen. Because remember, Abraham had other children, right? But it was only through Isaac. Okay. In Isaac, your seed shall be called. That is, those who are children of the flesh are not the children of God, but the children of promise are counted as the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time, I will come and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah has also conceived by one man, even by her own father Isaac, for the children not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls, it was said to her, the older shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. And it's still kind of repeating what we read in Malachi. Esau's heart and attitude is revealed long before it is time to bless. Now see, God knows the beginning and the end. He already knows, he already sees our life. He knows us from beginning to end. He knew Esau before he was born. And so Esau, his heart and his attitude, it's being revealed... is being revealed before it was time to hand over the authority of the family to either one of the men. Everyone who knew Esau knew what his driving force was. Genesis makes it clear. Genesis makes it very clear from what we've read so far. But I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. in the Old Testament, I mean the New Testament, excuse me, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 16 and 17. Just kind of jumping into the middle of the sentence here. Lest there be any fornicator or godless, it says profane, or godless person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. Now listen, God says right here, he explains it to us. If we cannot comprehend what he has said in Genesis, we don't understand what he has said in Malachi, and maybe we can't understand what Paul wrote in Romans. God made it very clear right here in the book of Hebrews. He says that Esau was a godless person, and he was so careless, so flippant about what would have been coming to the firstborn that God already knew, that he had no concern for it or no care for it. That was not what Esau wanted. Esau wanted a good time, and Esau wanted to be thought well of, and Esau wanted to have position and authority, but he could care less about the things of God. That's what's important. Let me tell you something. You can build the biggest business in the world. You can have your name. There's a name I see a lot, and I'm not being critical, but there's the name Pollock. I see everywhere. I think, oh my goodness, this person really builds a lot, you know, and you see people put their names on things that they build, and people have these reputations of being so good, but if they don't know God, if they do not know God, listen, everything you build is going to turn to dust and ashes. There's nothing eternal. Nothing eternal about what we build here. Esau had no eternal vision. All he had was temporal. And so God makes it very clear. Esau had no regard for his natural rights as the firstborn son. He was godless. His attitude was careless toward the responsibilities entailed by his rights. He wanted everything, and he wanted it right then, I want it right now, and his choices were an outward picture of his inward heart. This was what was going on in his heart, and God knew Esau. He was flesh. And as I was reading this, I thought to myself, this was Isaac's Ishmael. Remember? Abraham said, oh God, that Ishmael might live. And Isaac, he's not asking God. He's just going to do it. He's talking to Esau in the tent privately, just between the two of them, and Rebekah hears. He was not the one that God had chosen, and he knew it. I was making myself a little chart thinking about this four-member family. We have Isaac, the dad. We have Rebekah, the mom. And we have Esau and Jacob. Now, pretty much after this, it's not going to be Esau and Jacob. It's going to be Jacob and Jacob and Esau. No, because it's hard for me to say Esau and Jacob. I want to say Jacob and Esau. But the one thing that they all four have in common is that they're all four deceitful. Isaac, we see it in verses 1 through 4 with Rebekah, verses 5 through 17. Esau, verses 1 through 4, and verses 31 through 32, and Jacob is deceitful as he carry out the deed. Whether, you know, even though it was his mother's plan and he questioned her, he still did it, didn't he? He was deceitful also in his acts. In verses 18 through 29, we see that Isaac was disobedient. He was disobedient because he calls Esau in. He says, you know, he thinks he's going to die. Isaac lives to be, I'll get to that in a minute. I can't remember. I think it's like 180. But he's disobedient. And then he plays the blame game in 35. He says, oh, your brother, he deceived me. But he had a wake-up call in verse 33. This is how you know that Isaac knew. In verse 33, when it said Isaac trembled exceedingly, it means that his bones were clattering together. When he realized that Esau walked in that tent, and that it had been Jacob that walked out, the blessing that he gave was prophetic. It was a prophetic utterance empowered by the Holy Spirit. It was not just a father uttering words. You know, sometimes we'll say, oh, son, you know, and we just think we give them a little wisdom. This was a prophetic utterance that would go forth. There was nothing that could stop it. This was God speaking through Isaac to Jacob, the one that he had chosen. Isaac realized that he had tried to interfere with God's plan. And when Esau walked in, Isaac trembled. It literally means that his bones were clattering together when he realized what he had done. And Rebecca, want to just kind of go through each one of hers. With her deceit, where she told her son to obey her voice. And what happens with Rebecca, it's not recorded in here, but as you read it, you will see that when she sends Jacob off, the one that she loves, that's her favorite son, she never sees him again. She never lays eyes on her son again. She's going to send him off just for a few days, hoping Esau will calm down. But when he leaves, and by the time he returns, she has already died. He never sees his mother again. She never sees her favorite son again. And Esau, with the blame game in verse 36, we see that where Esau's just crying out, he's crying like a girl. He's just screaming and yelling, just probably got gator tears coming down his face, you know, weeping and wailing before his father, and he's so mad. And what? But he is not crying repentantly. He is crying and mourning over the loss of prosperity, the place it would have given him politically, for his enemies to be cursed. This is what he lacked. Turn to 2 Corinthians. This is what Esau lacked. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. Paul says that for godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be neglected, but the sorrow, not to be regretted, I'm sorry, but the sorrow of the world produces death. People sometimes are sorry when they get caught, but they're not sorry enough to change. They're just sorry they got caught. Oh, sorry. My bad. Sorry. And that's what it was with Esau. There was no repentance. There was no genuine sorrow there. He was sorry for what he had been tricked and deceived out of. And he was angry in all of that. But it was all of what he lost. It had nothing to do with the things of God. And Jacob's deceitfulness, this is where Isaac really failed in his passivity. Isaac's passivity in not doing what he should have been doing. Because he was the one God said, now Abraham, through Isaac, I'm going to do this. Isaac should have been keen and alert to this. He did not choose wise. What was it that Abraham did for Isaac? He would not let Isaac go back. Isaac sends Jacob back. And he sends him back with nothing. Nothing but the clothes on his back. He's going back to get a wife, but he doesn't give him anything. Not one thing. There's something wrong in this picture, isn't it? Where Jacob gets all the blame for being deceitful and his father so passive and his father so disobedient to God in this. Look, I want you to look. Now, this really, truly is for us as we grow older in our walk with the Lord, as we grow older in years, that we not become passive and we not allow sin and we not become disobedient to God, that we would let our bellies rule us. Or the love of a child, that we would not do what God has called us to do because we love this child so much, that we so want this for this child, that we will put God's will aside. We'll be disobedient to God. Look at Isaac and where he has come from, willingly letting his father tie him up and lay him out to sacrifice him, to now at this point in his life, he thinks he's about to die, and he says, oh, I need some of that good venison that you make, and then I'm going to give you this blessing. Yes. This is the place we come to when we will not listen to God and determine to have our own way. Well, that's what we need to think about. Which is better, our way or God's way? But sometimes we just want to do what we want to do, don't we? Sometimes we just love our kids, and we just want to do this for our kids. It's not a bad thing. Why would God get upset about this? Why shouldn't I be able to do this? Well, you know, I'm so close to this one. We're so close. And I just think if I can just, with this one, that's not what God has in mind at all. Not at all. And we just get, we're wanting to talk to God about that. And we think we can sneak around behind his back. And what they meant to do, what they were doing deceitfully, God allowed it to happen. He allowed it to happen. Now we're going to see how God works in this matter, but I want you to see that God does not say one word to Rebekah. He does not say one word to Jacob. Not one word. Now, there are repercussions when we lie. Rebekah never sees that beloved son again. And Jacob never hears his mother's voice again. And that's sad. But that's what disobedience brings. Let me tell you what else disobedience brings. And what Isaac and Rebekah had set themselves up for. I don't think that they had a happy home. They had jealousy. They had a home filled with jealousy. Esau always has dad's attention. He's daddy's boy. Jacob always has mom's attention. She's always got her arms around him, petting him, loving him. Esau sees that. He never gets that. But Jacob never gets dad's approval. So what do you have? Sibling rivalry. You have hard bargaining. Jacob, he knows his brother. No compassion, no pity on him. He knows what he wants. He catches him in a weak moment. Knowing what God has said, see, nobody's willing to let God do what God said he would do. Jacob figures he's got to figure out how to get this. How are you going to change him being the firstborn? And then careless attitudes, lying. This whole family lies. This whole family is deceitful. Not only are they deceitful, but they carry out, they develop these elaborate schemes. They make these plans. To me, it's like something you would see on a movie. And you get them together, you know, like Mission Impossible. And you listen to this, and it's going to self-destruct. And you carry out this elaborate scheme. That's what he did. And what happens with all of this? You have hatred and you have wrath. That's what happens in a family like that when you're not willing to wait on God. God will never move in your timing. He will not move in my timing because his timing is perfect. God was not out of control with what he said concerning Jacob. It was all within his control. And it was within his timing. Isaac thought, going to die. I'm dying. I can't see. Maybe his health wasn't as good. Maybe he had to, you know, rest on his pillows all day. He wasn't able to get out. Whatever reason, he thought he was dying. He's going to live at least another 40, 50 years. He's going to live at least, I think it's 180. He outlived, I mean, he lives longer than Abraham. But he's going to live to be 180 years old. So he's still got another good 40, 50 years to live. This is a word that God gave me this morning as I started. And the Lord gave me this word for us as a Bible study. God's silence is not necessarily God's approval. Sometimes we pray and we pray and we pray. I don't hear God, so I'm just going to go do this. It must be okay because God didn't say anything. God said that His silence is not necessarily His approval. And we're going to close out there. That's all I have for this evening. I actually have my other notes, but these are the notes that God gave me for tonight. So we're going to close. And what we're going to do is we're going to close in prayer. Did I go through that pretty fast? Yeah.
Gosh, I was just waiting for more.
I have more.